And we are live. What's going on, folks? This is the second episode of the Nuclear Golf Podcast, joined by my co-host Hutch, Tim, and we've got Mike Carbone making his debut this evening.
Happy birthday, big dog.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, what a day to make my debut. Thank you, fellas.
Happy birthday, Mike. It's a big one for you. We got a lot to talk about on this show. My name's John. I'm the co-owner of Nuclear Golf and TW Legion. And tonight, we're going to be going through a whole host of topics. Obviously, Victor Hovland won the Valspar yesterday, taking down Justin Thomas. It's just a huge win for Hovland, obviously, and fending off Thomas from what would have been his first win in 3 years. Brandel Chamblee is back with some very pointed comments directed at LIV Golf, as normal. Pretty typical stuff, but we're going to go through it. Scottie Scheffler's Masters dinner menu has been unveiled, so we're going to dissect that and see if you guys are hungry for anything on that menu. Tiger Woods actually took to Twitter last night with an announcement that he is in a relationship with Vanessa Trump. He waited about 10 minutes after the golf was over yesterday to make that announcement. It went pretty viral, so we'll get into that. The Masters thief who had been stealing merchandise from a warehouse and selling it for millions of dollars over like 12 years has been, you know, found guilty, and he's going to be serving jail time. Miles Russell won the Sage Valley Junior Invitational. Kai Trump and Charlie Woods also competed in the event, so we'll talk a little bit about that. And then three LIV golfers are heading to the Open after qualifying at the International Series event. And of course, we've got our viral videos of the week. So let's get into it. Tim, did you have a chance to watch some of the action this weekend at the Valspar?
Yeah, I watched most of the final rounds, especially the back nine Sunday. Pretty cool. Like, it was awesome watching Victor and JT get back in the mix. JT was playing awesome. He played great. He even took the lead. He had the lead. I know some people are going to say he choked, but when you're playing that hot of a round and you're and then all of a sudden you're chasing the whole entire day, and now you have to turn around and protect the lead after being seven under after 15, sometimes that's some of the hardest golf that you have to play. And he just mishit a couple drives, led to a couple bogeys. Hovland made an unbelievable birdie on 16 at a tie, and that was
– it wasn't like he was protecting a one-shot lead. He had a three-shot lead with five holes to play. We were texting, and I said it was game over. Of course, I was wrong, but I wanted him to win because I picked him last week.
Oh, I when you said golf is never game over, it never is.
I know.
It never is. And as soon as somebody says that, it's, you know, something bad's gonna happen.
Yeah, unless your name's Tiger Woods, right?
Even Tiger did it.
Well, maybe that's why we're sure spoiled on it. But when he on 16, when he played his second out sideways, and then he hit his third into the bunker right, that was kind of – it was like almost impressive that he walked out with just a bogey the way he hit it on that hole. I mean, it he had a great bunker shot to save bogey, but I guess credit to Hovland, man. He went out and did it, especially for somebody coming into the week who didn't think he had a chance to win. He was just kind of there. Like he Not saying we didn't think he had a chance. I don't think any of us picked him, but he himself didn't think he had a chance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, credit to Hovland first and foremost. You know, he played some really strong golf there, especially on that back nine. You know, he really toughened up and, you know, definitely gutted for JT. You know, that's a tough loss. And, you know, like you said, Hutch, you know, a three-shot lead with, five holes left?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that's obviously tough. And then, you know, going back to what Tim was saying, you know, there's definitely something to be said, you know, when you're, you know, you've been playing from behind all week and you're in attack mode. And then all of a sudden, you know, on the back nine on Sunday, you've got a lead to protect. You know, it's definitely a completely different mental aspect to that, you know. So it definitely takes some really strong golf to hold off on something like that. So definitely credit to Hovland, and then obviously gutted for JT. But he's definitely trending in the right direction. So I'm excited for him going into Augusta.
Yeah, absolutely. Victor Hovland has actually been searching for his game for a little bit here. This was actually his first win since the 2023 Tour Championship. So it's been a couple of years for him. And after his round, he actually, you know, he said, I hit a lot of disgusting shots, but they happened to go where I looked. And JT also said, I felt so good out there, so excited for every shot. So both of those guys hit some really good golf shots this week. I thought for sure that JT was going to close it out. And then Hovland just hit some unbelievable shots coming home. And, you know, JT just couldn't close the deal. So that's the way it goes sometimes. And it definitely, I agree with Mike, it definitely seems like JT is banging on the door to get a win pretty soon. You know, JT can just kind of come alive at any point, and he's a major champion, multiple major champion. He could win a major at any point here again this year as well. Even though he hasn't won in 3 years, he's got that game to do it. And you saw how hot his putter was coming down the stretch too, right on the back nine. Like, he just lit up the greens there at Innisbrook. So it's good to see JT back in the mix. But Hovland hit some unbelievable iron shots there in the late stages as well. Hovland actually took to Instagram, you know, after the round. I can't remember if it was this morning or last night, but he just said stupid game
with him. Yeah.
Him in the trophy. So that was pretty funny. And with the win, he actually moved from 137th to 26th in the FedEx Cup standings. Nice. He went from world number 19 to world number 8. Not that the world golf rankings mean a whole lot at this point, right? We've gone through that. So yeah, it was a great tournament all around. I thought that the Valspar actually had some drama coming home because there was just so many guys in the mix, right? So many guys had a chance. You know, a few big names, JT and Hovland, Lowry was in the mix. And we also had some journeyman type guys that had a chance as well. So it's a good tournament. And now we're on to the Houston Open this week, I think, right?
That's the way it should be, because it wasn't like 30 under. There wasn't a birdie fest. This is the way it should be.
Absolutely.
Did you happen to catch that shot that Billy Horschel hit, that left-handed shot?
Oh, man.
Dude, that's why those guys are so good. To hit something 120 yards back left-handed out of the rough and get it that airborne and get it to even stop on the greens.
Yeah.
Unreal.
And then make it. And then make it.
Was it a 40, 50 footer he made?
30. Yeah. 31, 32.
Okay. Still, it was a bomb regardless. I mean, that's definitely a early candidate for up and down of the year. That's for sure.
That was unreal.
That was wild because he was backed up against that tree, right? So like, as a righty, he wasn't able to do anything. So that's all he had. And I mean, you practice that shot, obviously, if you're a pro. Like, I mean, if any amateur tried that shot, it probably wouldn't go like that.
No. Absolutely not. No, I'm taking a drop there for sure.
Yeah, that's just unreal. That's crazy. But yeah, Valspar turned out to be a pretty good tournament, I think. Like, you know, they had a decent field. There were some decent names in the mix too. So it's good. And now we're on to it's the Houston Open this week, right? Rory's playing this week. He added this event to his calendar as a sort of a tune-up for the Masters. And then he also indicated that he's going to be going to Augusta for multiple practice rounds. So Rory's actually kind of differed on his strategy going into Augusta the last few years. Sometimes he says, I got to take the pressure off myself. I don't want to play too many events. I don't want to play too many practice rounds. Seems that this year he's gone back to the approach of, you know, playing events, going up to Augusta for multiple days of scouting. Like, he plays like 36 holes over a couple days, maybe even more than that. So you guys think it's going to work out for Rory this year, or is he trying too hard again?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously, you know, it's been a tough cookie to crack for him, you know, ever since 2011. You know, it's just been in his head mentally, you know, that tournament and that golf course. So, you know, obviously he's got to mix things up, and, you know, I don't know how much it benefits him to play more. I mean, personally, I think it should, you know, have your game as crisp as possible and go in there ready to roll and to be firing on all cylinders. You know, I certainly hope that he plays well and he's on the first page of the leaderboard on Sunday, but we'll see what happens. I'm definitely optimistic for him though.
He's just searching. He's just so desperate to get it. He's just going to keep trying different things until it happens. He'll get it eventually. He has to. It's too good to not win one.
He may or may not. I don't know. I think he puts a lot of pressure on himself to win the Masters. I think until he completely lets go of the 2011 demons, it's going to haunt him. I think he wants it so bad that it doesn't matter how good you are. Sometimes no matter how bad you want it, you don't get it.
He wants it too bad.
Yeah. I mean, just look at Greg Norman should have won 3 or 4 Masters, to be honest with you. And I just think as he got older and older, it got harder and harder. I mean, he choked in 96. I mean, that was a choke. I mean, the 6-shot lead on Sunday and you shoot 78. That's the kind of pressure I think sometimes Rory puts on himself. And if he's smart about it, he wouldn't play, in my opinion, he wouldn't play at Augusta as many times as he would use the Houston Open to hit shots that he would hit at Augusta and not care about his score at the Houston Open. I think that would benefit him a lot better. That's just me thinking like how Tiger used to do it.
He probably will. Masters gods may not want him to win for what his menu might end up looking like when he gets hosted the next year, because I don't know what Irish food is like. I have no idea.
last year in the majors, Rory had some close calls, right? Like obviously he was T12 at the PGA, and obviously he was second at the US Open. We all remember the missed short putt there.
Yeah.
Lost to Bryson. He was T22 at Augusta and he missed the cut at the Open. So, you know, a bit of a missed bag, but three of the finishes were inside the top 25, and you know, one was a runner up finish. So he's definitely hungry this year, coming off the Players' Championship win. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs at Augusta, especially because I think he's expecting some pretty big things from himself this season. The other thing I just wanted to quickly touch on before we kind of wrap up the Valspar was the Patton Kizzire putter punt. Did you guys catch that?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw it. So
it was impressive.
He kicked his putter. I don't know how high it went, but it seemed like it was in the air for a pretty long time. putter went up in the air, came back down, and when it landed, it was bent out of shape. There's the screenshot of it, and he actually issued an apology today over on Instagram. He said he wasn't feeling too well. Kind of lost control of his emotions and said that he'd be better for it in the future. So, I mean, things like that happen obviously out there, but it was a pretty viral moment there when it happened.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It was so great. Yeah. I don't even think he needed to apologize. The video is just great. They need stuff like that.
Yeah, they do. They do. But that video got taken down.
I wouldn't be surprised if some NFL teams end up calling him this fall if someone's in need of an emergency punter.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Sport athlete.
Moving on. Brandel Chamblee is back in the media with some comments. he tweeted something out at the beginning of the week. He said, let me just read it out. He said, PGA Tour is killing it and LIV is dying a slow, costly death. LIV players have seller's remorse. They want the meritocratic, I don't even know. Some of the language that Brandel uses, right? It's just like he's a dictionary out there. But he said, highest level comforters, but they have shown in their choice to play for LIV that they'd rather have the money first and sue for the trying to blur the distinction between gift and reward. The audience sees right through them and chooses to watch those that prefer to play for history and legacy. So, and then today he was over on the Dan on Golf show once again, and he said, people watch sports that matter. More people watch pickleball event than that. So he's back in the media, and it seems like he's digging in on the PGA Tour side, obviously. What did you guys make of those comments?
Bro's just a hater. He just hates on everything. He has some good points, but I did watch him on Dan on Golf today, and he was talking about like nobody is – they're not doing anything of any historical significance on LIV, blah, 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 blah. But he also was a lot harder on LIV a couple of years ago than the framework agreement gets announced. He kind of bashes it then, but here in the last few months kind of softened on it. Now he's kind of back to bashing the individual events, not the concept or the money or whatever. he said there's no historical significance or legacy to these events that the Liv's guys are winning right now. But in my mind, I thought when any tour was starting up, was there any historical significance to it at the beginning? No, because there's no history, like at all. So I don't know. It's very hard to have a definitive opinion like that on this right now when we don't even know what it's going to look like in a year. You know what I'm saying? Like if they combine the tours or whatever they do, then yeah, these events may have some more significance if it comes under that umbrella, the PGA Tour umbrella. But we'll see. I mean, it's hard to say right now, just definitively, and just to bash something like that, just to do it is what it felt like to me.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard. For me, it's hard to figure out when Brandel's, saying something to get clicks or whether he really believes it, because he has softened up and then he gets tough and then he'll ease back a little bit. And it's like, are you doing this to try to get views or do you really feel that way? Nowadays, I just find it challenging to find what people really think anymore.
Right.
Because sometimes you catch people talking out of both sides of their mouth and it's just interesting. He slams Liv. And then he is very, like Hutch said, eases up on it when there's a deal coming close. Because deep down, my honest opinion is he's sometimes right and sometimes wrong and doesn't care. And he wants all the good players back on the same tour, I think, is what ultimately he really wants. And he'll say anything, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think, you know, we live in a clickbait era. You know, the times that we're in now, it's definitely one of those deals where you'll just say anything just to, you know, get reactions, get people commenting on your posts, things of that nature. And, you know, you're allowed to have whatever opinion you want to on the PGA Live thing. If you're pro PGA, pro Live, if something you enjoy, that's good and well. And if the PGA is your thing, you know, you're old school, then that's great too. You know, I don't have any, you know, harsh feelings towards anyone that feels a particular way. But yeah, Brandel's definitely an interesting character, to say the least. I'm not sure what he's getting at when it comes to, you know, going back and forth, you know, being super hard on Liv, and then, you know,
he's got a little Skip Bayless in him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's definitely
golf Bayless.
Oh, yeah, you can definitely tell though when things are kind of off the rails with the negotiations. Like it becomes really obvious when both sides kind of dig in. You know, they dig their heels into the ground, and it just you can tell. Like you can just tell when the players are asked on a certain week. I find that Rory is one of the most obvious ones. Yeah. You can really get a sense when things are headed kind of either they're just kind of stale and not moving in any direction, or things have just kind of, they go backwards. Right. And I think it was interesting. Webb Simpson actually, you know, gave some quotes to Sports Illustrated's Bob Herrick earlier today. This is really interesting. He voiced his frustration with the speed of the negotiations as well as the communication. He said, "It seems like there is a little bit of a breakdown in communication on the other side. On our side, when questions are asked of us, we get answers right away. We've been diligent. I don't know if the same is true on their side. That part has been kind of frustrating." So, I mean, that's essentially the PGA Tour coming out and making it public that they're not happy with the process and the negotiation, right? They're essentially saying that like Piff is kind of like either like stonewalling or slow walking on certain things. And he also indicated that he has a hard time seeing where the team golf concept is going to fit into the PGA Tour's overall sort of structure. You know, he said he believes that the two sides are in a better place than they were previously in terms of both sides knowing what each other kind of want. And then he also referenced the fact that they're just more familiar with Yasser and how he wants to contribute to the game. But he had a hard time seeing how like Liv's calendar, I think, is going to fit in with the PGA Tour. And I think that seems like a major stumbling block, right? I mean, that's essentially their entire concept of what the league is. Like, it's literally team golf throughout the entire season. So yeah, if that's the plan to try and incorporate that into the PGA Tour, I mean, that's a pretty big hurdle that's going to need to be overcome for these two sides to make a deal, right?
Yeah. I would say so. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks. But you're right, John. You can definitively tell just by the way both sides go back to their regular old talking points when things aren't going great. So we'll see. Maybe that committee gets back in it with the president and Yasser or the PIF guys at some point, and they can get it worked out.
Absolutely.
Hopefully they do.
Go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to say, isn't the part of the most challenging thing is these guys are like owners of their teams or part owners or have bought into it. And so how are they? It's a good question that Webb brings up, because how are they going to incorporate that into the PGA Tour? It's tough.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. It's a pretty fundamental thing. Anyways, this discussion overall is a complex one. It's been going on for a long time, and we're just going to have to wait and see for the next update. We're no different than any other golf fan, just waiting for this stalemate to be over. We got to talk a little bit about Scottie Scheffler's dinner menu, because the defending champion has unveiled his dinner menu. So let's just go through it. Appetizers, cheeseburger sliders, firecracker shrimp. We've got Papa Chef's meatball and ravioli bites as well. First course, Texas style chili, cheddar cheese, jalapenos, corn chips. And then the main course is choice of wood-fired cowboy ribeye or blackened redfish. Which one are you guys picking out of those two?
So the ribeye.
Jeez. Ribeye, 100%.
No, brainer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then for dessert, warm chocolate chip skillet cookie, served in honor of Mr. Scottie Scheffler. Do you guys remember some of the old Champions dinner menus from, you know, back in the day, like early 2000s when Tiger had his menus? I think he had cheeseburgers several of the years. But here's a quote from Scottie himself. He said, "It's my favorite foods. Haven't quite changed too much, but there's a little bit, I would say, more kind of nostalgic stuff. My dad's meatballs made the menu. I think there's meatball and ravioli type of dish that was always my favorite thing growing up. My dad, his best meal was always meatballs, so I think that's going to be one of the appetizers." So Scotty's going back to his childhood with the menu.
I mean, you win the Masters and you get to pick the menu. So, like, if anybody else wants to win the Masters, they can pick their own menu too. I remember Phil wanting to do In-N-Out Burger one year after he won. So I was like, okay.
Actually, Tiger in 2020 actually had steak and chicken fajitas as his main.
He was a little more cultured by that point.
Yeah.
Than he was in the late 90s or the early 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, it's probably a fun night. The champions dinner, obviously, the guys, all the past champions assemble, and I'm sure the stories are pretty crazy. Not sure if Tiger's actually going to make it for this year's or not, because he's coming off his injury, but we'll see. There's been many years in the past where he's gone just for the champions dinner when he hasn't been playing the event, right? So I think if I had to guess, he'll probably try and be there, right?
Yep. Make some time in his busy schedule.
Yeah,
he looks like he's doing all right at this moment.
Well, he's doing the best that he can be doing.
Yeah, right. He's got company.
Yeah, let's get into that. We'll throw up the tweet if we have it. So Tiger has announced his relationship with Vanessa Trump. So this was his actual tweet. So he waited like 10 minutes from the point that Victor Hovland had won last night to go on X and announce. He could quote, "Love is in the air and life is better with you by my side. We look forward to our journey through life together. At this time, we would appreciate privacy to all those close to our hearts." And then he posted two photos. It looks like it's him with Vanessa, obviously maybe in his backyard at his house. I just want to get your guys' thoughts on this. Obviously, this story broke 7 to 10 days ago. I think the Daily Mail was first to report that Tiger and Vanessa were seeing one another. And then obviously now he's making it official. So, I mean, personally, as a big Tiger fan, I think it's great for Tiger. I'm just happy that he has someone that's kind of by his side. Obviously, she's been with him through some difficult moments already. Obviously, I'm sure, like, through the passing of his mother and then now with this most recent injury. And, you know, I think another thing to keep in mind just with Tiger's daughter going to be going off to university at Stanford soon. And, you know, it's just going to be he and Charlie at home. And it's just good that he has someone that he can lean on, right, for his days ahead. And this statement, I mean, I don't want to speculate, obviously, but it seems pretty serious. This is a more serious statement than some of the ones that he's put out in the past. I'm almost wondering if the pair is potentially going to be getting married. I'm not sure, but you guys are big Tiger guys. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. It's super weird. Like the timing of it, the whole – I don't understand. I mean, you have like 10 million followers all over Twitter or Instagram, and you ask for privacy for those close to your heart. So I didn't understand the last sentence and what he was – how he was going to try to pull that off. But, I mean, it's good for him. I mean, I think that's awesome. And – he'll probably follow Kai around quite a bit and Charlie. So good for him. This was weird. It didn't seem like it was quite him. So I'll be curious to see where it goes. Like what interesting.
Yeah. I'm definitely curious, you know, when he decides to actually address that to the media, you know, maybe giving us a little more insight onto that post and the caption in particular. And I think the comments on that Instagram post are pretty much tell the whole story, you know, like it's not like Tiger at all to post any significant other, like, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, he's never posted any of his past.
I think him and Lindsey Vonn did it, didn't they?
Yeah. So he, I can give some color on this. He and Lindsey Vonn actually posted a very similar kind of photo when they kind of hard launched their relationship. I want to say it was even in the backyard. There was vines in the background. It, very similar, very, very similar to this one, which is kind of interesting. I mean, who do you guys think took the photos and even tweeted that? Like it doesn't seem like it's written by Tiger for sure. But you guys think Charlie took the photo or?
I think it was Hutch.
That would be cool.
Wow, Tiger.
That would be cool. Yeah, I'm looking at John. He's the guy. He's
no, the one there. No, it wasn't me, but
probably hired.
This is cool though, because it's like he's in with he was already in with the administration anyway, but now he's got another little connection.
Oh yeah.
Definitely. What if he runs for president? I'm just saying, I vote for him.
No, he's never doing that. He's never going to run for president. But it is interesting that you did mention like the ties to the first family and all that, right? Because, you know, she's obviously like Donald Trump Jr.'s ex-wife, like the president's former daughter-in-law is who we're talking about here. And, you know, she still is very involved in the political scene. Like she does appear at some of the big events. She was at the inauguration and things like that. I would imagine like she might even still have like a Secret Service protection. So I don't know, maybe there's Secret Service agents hanging out at Tiger's house now for all we know. I don't know, but definitely, you know, Tiger is kind of within that family now in a way, right? Like he's played golf with them as recent as a few weeks ago, right before the injury. So yeah, it's just interesting, something to watch, but it does seem like it's a really serious relationship, obviously, for him to be announcing it in this way. And we wish them the best. That's pretty much all we can say, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, guys.
Good for him and good for her.
Yeah, good for both of them, finding love, and hopefully they're going to be happy together for a really long time.
If you need an address for the wedding invite, I will gladly give it to you.
make that four of those.
Yeah. So let's pivot. Let's pivot to the Masters thief. So I'm not sure if you guys saw this story or not. This guy that was caught actually stealing Masters merchandise. He was a warehouse worker for Augusta, and he was actually stealing famous Masters merch and selling it over like a 12-year period. So he actually stole the green jackets that belonged to Palmer, Hogan, Sarazen. He's made a plea deal now, so he's going to be going to jail for a year, and he's ordered to pay $3.4 million in restitution to Augusta National. Couple of quotes here from the assistant U.S. attorney, Brian Hayes. He said, "The funds Globenski obtained enabled him and his spouse to live a lifestyle far beyond their means. The manner in which they spent the proceeds suggests greed was his primary motivation for committing the offense." He spent $370,000 to buy five cars and a motorboat. He spent 160 grand on a Disney vacation, 600 grand to build a home, 32,000 on Louis Vuitton bags. I mean, this guy just went crazy. I mean, who would do this?
How many people did he take to Disney? Like, Disney's expensive, right? But like, not that. Did he rent out the whole park?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So this guy's 40 years old. Richard Globenski pleaded guilty to one count of transporting stolen goods across state lines. That's kind of what they've officially got him on. He issued a statement in court. "I deeply regret the decision that led me to this moment. I have taken full responsibility for my actions and remain committed to doing everything in my power to make amends." But I mean, this wasn't just a one-time thing, right? Like, this was going on for several years. Like, this went on for a decade.
How, like, my first thought is like, how did they finally catch him? Like, 12 years? You're stealing merchandise from one of the most tight-lipped places in America, the Augusta.
Yeah, but there was, you remember, Tim, there was that photographer a few years back that was stealing jerseys out of the Super Bowl locker rooms and selling them.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. And things like that. So, I mean, I guess it's possible. I wonder how it's possible at a place like Augusta, but in dealing with them is kind of crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a wild, wild case and situation altogether. Like, I just can't imagine being this guy. It's just crazy. So, anyways, this guy's going to be serving time behind bars, and that's about it. I don't think he's going to be working for Augusta National anymore.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah,
he's got a little time to do first, though. Then we'll
I want to know how you spend $160,000 at Disney.
That's what I keep coming. But you, Tim, have you ever taken the family to Disney?
Yeah,
I would it have feels to take like it, right? Like, it feels like you could spend $160,000. Like, it feels like it.
But then when you come home, you didn't even come close to it. So how many families?
No, but it still hurts. It still hurts a lot. You know it hurts.
Yeah. I just 106. Like, man, what he – I still can't get over how it took 12 years to catch him. Like, I'll still – that's amazing that he got away with it for that long and then didn't decide at some point to go, you know what? I've had a good run. I think I'm just going to chill. what are you doing?
You can rent specific areas of Disneyland for $250,000 for 4 hours, but that's just certain areas. That's not the whole thing. You can't rent the whole park, apparently. But it only costs you $15,000 to get married at Disney.
Yeah, go, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even wrap my head around that. That's just so much money involved. And does anyone know like how much he netted from that?
I believe he netted a few million dollars. Yeah, like $3 million or $5 million.
I think.
So,
okay. I mean, and he's got to pay three back in restitution. Yeah. What it was?
Yeah, three and a half. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
That's crazy though how that went for 12 years. I mean, that sounds like something out of The Sopranos or something like that. You know, to get away with something that long.
Yeah.
How much did he keep? That's what I need to know. Like, how much memorabilia did he steal that he kept? Because if you get some of that stuff, like, I understand the allure of selling it, but some of that stuff's so historical, it's like, I just want to keep it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's a crazy story, but Yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, for it to go on that long is just insane. It's just, I can't believe that he didn't get caught until this point. So it's just wild. The other thing I wanted to touch on in this episode is the Sage Valley Junior Invitational, which is regarded as one of the most historic junior events in the country. 16-year-old Miles Russell actually finished first. He was 9 under par. He won the event. A couple other notable scores, Charlie Woods. He had a couple of decent rounds, a couple of blow-up rounds as well. He finished T25 out of 36. And Kai Trump actually competed as well. She finished 52 over par, 24th out of 24 girls. I mean, this is just one of those events. Miles Russell has obviously played on the PGA Tour. He's got some big experience already. He's turned pro. What are you guys' thoughts on that kid's swing? Do you think he has a big future on the tour?
I mean, it's hard to say, you know. I mean, 16 years old, you know, so much can change. But as of right now, yeah, he's definitely got the makings to be a top flight tour pro for sure.
So much could happen. We'll see how his headspace is in a few years, but he certainly showed up and played that week.
Yeah, this is not a first for Russell, obviously. He's tweet from Sean Martin indicated he's now won 5 of his last 6 junior/amateur events, taking home some of the biggest titles at his level. So obviously he's bringing home the hardware in some of these tournaments, and he's already gotten some reps at the competitive level. So, I mean, I'd imagine he's going to get some more starts on the tour, and he's going to be, he could be a force to be reckoned with down the line. He's still a young kid, right? 16 years old. I mean, he has all of the future in front of him. So hopefully he can emerge as, you know, he's got an incredible swing for his size. Like, he looks like he hits the ball like 300 plus out there, and he's skinny, sure, obviously, does. But he can just smoke it.
He's got that twitch muscle for sure.
Yeah. Fast twitch. He won the 2018 Junior Honda, 2020 U.S. Kids World Championship, 2021 U.S. Kids World Championship, 2023 Junior PGA, 2024 Elite Invitational. So he's won some big events, and it'll be interesting to see how he's able to perform when it comes time to actually compete in more events. Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see who he surrounds himself with. I think that's the biggest key to the young people nowadays, is kids are better and better and better, younger and younger and younger, and it's about who you surround yourself with. I mean, all of a sudden you're 16 or 17 and you're starting to hang out with uncles you never knew you had. And it's just, they want a piece of the pie, and you got to surround yourself with good people. I remember Ty Tryon years ago, 17-year-old phenom. Everybody thought he was going to be the next biggest thing. Started surrounding himself with clowns and derailed his career before it even started. So I think it just depends on who you put around you that have your best interest for your career, and not just financially.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's so many decisions to make with his team and the people around him as he goes professional. And he almost Monday qualified for the Puerto Rico Open in March. He shot a 67. But he missed out after losing in the playoff for the fourth and final spot. And then obviously he played in the Rocket Mortgage, right, in 2024. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he played in the Butterfield Bermuda, where he just missed the cut. Scoring average in these events was 69.6. So he's an awesome right. game for sure.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's playing right. like Mike.
all that
March Madness, how are you guys doing with your brackets? Still alive?
My champion's still alive, but the team that I got them playing against is not. But
Auburn's still going.
Yeah,
I picked Auburn. I don't remember who y'all picked, but I picked Auburn.
I picked Duke.
Duke.
Yeah, me too, John.
Duke.
Did you?
Yeah,
you picked Duke too.
I don't know. They finally had a buzzer beater yesterday, so everybody's been talking about
it. And the guy walked. It was a walk.
He, He didn't walk. Dude, he didn't walk.
Play that back. He walked.
There ain't a referee in the world that's going to call that a travel at that point ever on any player, on any team. I mean, it was.
I used to be a referee. I call it.
It wasn't. In that moment, it wasn't that noticeable until everybody slowed it down and started to get technical with the, well, when did his dribble actually stop? And then, you know, you can keep breaking down the plays over and over, and the defender hip checked him. That's a foul. So, I mean, they didn't call that. Should they call that foul? You know, you can – traveling is weird now because you could break it down on every play. Every play a guy moves a pivot foot, every single play now. And it's because nobody calls it anymore, so they let it get away. But, you know, to say that was a tough shot. To go left when you're right-handed and shoot like that, it was literally one out of 10. It was a 9 on a hard scale. The fact that he made it, I like the fact that during the timeout he said, "Give me the effing ball."
And then, yeah, I mean, it was a tough shot. It's just unfortunate that it shouldn't have counted.
Yeah, you're right. He should have been at the line shooting too. Because he got fouled before the travel, so I'm a Maryland fan too, so I'll stick up for my boys.
Oh, that's the answer.
That's right, man. He didn't walk.
Maryland fan living in California.
All my family born in, all my aunts, uncles, parents, grandparents, all born and raised in Maryland.
You like that, Steve Francis? Oh, who was it? Juan Dixon. That's who I'm thinking.
Juan Dixon, greatest Maryland player ever. The great Juan. So now we'll see what happens. Thursday and Friday is the next rounds, and then Saturday is the Elite Eight. Duke is so tough right now. They got so many players that can play. You know, you got a 6'9" forward, and then you got your guards that are not missing any shots, and you got a 7'2" guy in the middle. That's a tough combination to try to get around, but that's why they play the game.
That's the truth. Yeah, it'll be fun to watch this weekend. Yeah. Go Auburn, though, as always.
March Madness isn't the only thing going on right now. We've actually got the TGL Finals happening tonight. I'm not sure if anyone's tuning in for that or if you've kind of tuned out, but it's the New York Golf Club versus Atlanta Drive for the season title. Did you guys still tuned in to TGL all the way to the end, or did you tap out a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not quite as interested since, you know, the Jupiter links are out, but, you know, I've still kept up with it. You know, it's like my life as a Cowboys fan. You know, you get the first down and exit out of the way, and then, you know, you just, you know, you watch the rest of it. You know, not quite as invested, but you still want to see who ends up winning the whole thing.
Mike's hurt, used to checking out early with the Cowboys, yeah. I think is what he just said.
Not fun over here.
I think is what he just said. Yeah, I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch as soon as we're done here. I'm going to watch. Because it's set up like tonight happens, and then they'll play tomorrow, but they might play twice tomorrow, right? So it could be really interesting. And plus, you know, Atlanta's in it. So let's go.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to hear what you guys have to think about TGL. Like, I mean, obviously it was their first year. I think there was, you know, there was some success with it. And I think that there was also some lower points of the season too, especially with some of those, you know, weekday matches where, you know, the teams just aren't that compelling, right? You know, it hurts obviously with no Tiger and Rory in the playoffs events too, right? Like, they're huge draws, and you saw the ratings kind of crater after, you know, Tiger's team got eliminated and then Rory's team got eliminated. But even just like there was a week where Tiger didn't play, where the ratings for that one weren't as good as the other weeks. And yeah, you just kind of saw the overall decline. Viewership started out around the million mark. And then it kind of went down to the 600,000 to 700,000 range. And then that's when they were saying that they were surprised with how well the ratings had done this year. I think they said that their goal was around the 400,000 mark, so that they were really happy with where it had been. And then now, like, as we've gotten into the playoffs, like, I wouldn't be surprised if tonight's finals has a little bit better viewership than the semis, but the semifinals had like 300,000 viewers, which is obviously, yeah, big decline from where it was in the early stages of it. what do you guys think? Is TGL going to be back next season? I mean, I wouldn't be surprising if it is back next year. I think this is a longer term kind of play for them, and they see this being at more than a year. I think they also have plans to expand this beyond just the stadium in Florida. But if they were to introduce this in another city, like, that needs to get underway now, right? Like, they got to be building a new stadium soon if that was the plan. Are you guys thinking that this is going to be big next year or more of the same?
I think it's hard to tell right now because we don't – it's very much outside of Tiger and Rory, who Tiger in particular, love him to death, not the most – he's not a personality, right? So outside of him and Rory to an extent, it's a personality-driven league. The player interactions is what you're there for, right? Because the technology we've seen has not been fantastic at all times. They'd really got to dial that in. However, if we're able to unify things by next year and we can get some of the guys from Live In, get DeChambeau, getting Bryson would be just massive for TGL. Definitely. And I mean, he's the biggest, probably the biggest star that's active right now in golf just because of his online following. So if he can get him in it, get some other Live guys that are kind of personable in there, Phil would probably be even good for it. If Kevin Kisner can make this league, Phil can make this league. So I think that'll be the big thing. It's just so hard to say right now. It'll definitely, I think it's definitely back next year because I've heard him talking about it, but I think their success kind of hinges on the personalities they're able to get for next year.
Also, I think they need consistency. If you want to get better ratings, you can't be all over the map and people not knowing when people are going to play. Like, I think the dip to 300,000 is because people were frustrated. Like, well, I don't even know when it's on. I'm not even going to try. Tiger's not playing. Rory's not. I mean, when you get that kind of mind frame going, it's hard to bounce back that particular season. So I think if every night somebody knew it was on from 4 to 6, whatever time zone you're in, 5 to 7 or 6 to 8 or whatever, then people actually plan their day around that kind of stuff. They're like, oh, you know what? If I can get all this work done, I can take off early, go watch the golf at the bar with buddies and drink some beer while they're playing and make it an event type of thing. But when you're like, oh, it's Monday. Oh, it's Wednesday. Oh, it's Tuesday. Oh, it happened last night. It's like, well, dang. You know, kind of takes away from it a little bit. I just think they need a little more consistency, to be honest.
To your point, Tim, I've gotten 2 texts since we've been going asking what time and what channel TGL's on tonight.
My point, yeah. I mean, no one even knows when it's on. So how do you get viewership? How do you get consistent viewership other than, like, the way they promote it? Oh, Tiger's playing. Everybody in the world knew Tiger was playing. Everybody in the world knew Rory was playing on this day. But then they're trying to get everybody to watch, and nobody else knew when anybody else was playing. I still like watching those guys play what I call bar golf. That's still fun. But if I don't know, you know, if I don't know what time it's on or what channel, I'm just going to be like, oh my God, I got to work for that too. I got to try to find it. Just tell me when it's on and I'll watch it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. There was actually Arthur Blank, who's the owner of the Atlanta Drive GC.
And Falcons.
And
Rise Up.
Doesn't he own one of those towns?
He owns Atlanta United, too, and the Home Depot.
And PGA Tour Superstore, I believe.
And that, too. Yeah. my wife actually saw him at the PGA Tour Superstore in Roswell like 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Oh, wow. Going to the restroom. She said he literally parked his limousine at the front door and just got out and went in and went straight to the restroom and then came back out and got back in the limo and took off.
Wow.
Which I thought was hilarious.
They have top tier restrooms. The Superstore?
They do.
Yeah, it's very top notch in there. Like, you will not see anything in there. It's very well kept.
Yeah.
What you talking about Arthur for?
Oh, no. He gave a quote. Like, he was essentially asked about the future of the league and what his thoughts are. We'll just go through it real quick before we get to the viral stuff of the week. He said, it's really unlimited. I know that's a really big word. Reality is the league will continue to expand. There will be other teams added to it over time. There will probably be other formats. Potentially, there will be gals involved. For Tim? Which will be great for the game as female golfers are playing more and more on course and off course. To me, it's really, really unlimited. So, I mean, that's all you need to know right there. Clearly, it's continuing on for at least next year and probably beyond if it goes at all decent. They tapped into a lot of the tour's sponsorship and marketing partners this year as well. And I think from that aspect of it, they did all they could, right? It was loaded with sponsors. They had influencers involved. They did everything they could to get what they could out of it. There's obviously more to go with it and expanding it to women and obviously some of the live guys if things ever progress that far. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how it actually transforms here in the years to come.
Did see they have Michael Vick there tonight.
Oh, do they?
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
Wrinkle.
One other thing, since we're on the topic of LIV, three LIV golfers actually made the Open Championship this week at the International Series event. So it was, we had Carlos Ortiz, Patrick Reed, and Jason Kokrak. They all finished top three at the International Series event on the Asian Tour to earn their spot in the Open Championship. I think it's at Royal Troon this year, right? Open?
Mm-hmm. And, no, it's at Portrush.
Portrush, yeah.
Oh, it's at Portrush? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so they've all punched their ticket. One guy who actually missed out, though, was Sergio. He missed a three-footer. I mean, he's going to have probably a couple of other chances, and then he'll probably have a qualifying event as well. If he really, I mean, he'll be at the qualifying event for sure. He wants to play these events, but I mean, just goes to show like there are some pathways for guys to make it, like some of the LIV guys to make it. And they've also expanded the qualifying opportunities for LIV golfers as well. Right. I think there's a couple spots that are open for them going forward. So a
lot of uproar about these guys though.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of it.
Is there anyone else from LIV that you feel deserves to be in the Open?
I mean, there's plenty of guys that should be in it, right? But I just, it's just people who get on their high horses and say, well, you shouldn't have left then. You should have stayed. If you stayed, then you get in. But then, you know, they go and earn it, right? Versus they go and earn it somewhere in Asia or on the Asian Tour or something like that. And then you get people online saying, oh, I'm glad some struggling Asian Tour golfer had his spot taken away just so that we could get Jason Kokrak in the Open. Like, okay, he won. Your guy had a chance to win too. Not even necessarily win, but he had a chance to qualify too. So,
yeah,
what are we complaining about?
Yeah.
Just play better.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a complex issue, obviously, with the official world golf ranking and all that. And we'll see how things kind of transpire over the next few months and, you know, maybe the next year as the game comes back together. I gotta show you guys the viral video of the week, though. I'm sure you guys saw this. It went absolutely crazy online. Adam Hadwin just completely lost his temper on a sprinkler head. Hits his club on the sprinkler head, smashes it, and the sprinkler starts going off, and then they couldn't get it off. Not sure if Joey has the video. Here we go. So, sprinkler smash, we called it.
You love to see it.
He
said, if I hit it again, will it go down?
I think he said sorry as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just his commitment, though. He's just standing on it.
Well, he feels bad now, right?
Yeah, that on top of that, super embarrassed, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He feels bad. He's trying to get it to turn off, obviously. I mean, his intention wasn't to activate the sprinkler, for sure. So we posted it. Michael Kim on the PGA Tour actually commented on our post. He said, so that's why my shot on 10 spun back so much.
Yeah.
And Anthony Kim actually comments. He said, to be fair, I saw a video on Instagram of KJ Choi teaching a bunch of young kids this and same technique in the bunker. Yeah, he shouldn't have done it, but get over it.
Yeah.
Other comments saying like he should be disqualified for this. What an asshole. That's one way to take relief from a sprinkler head. I mean, there was just a ton of comments. Hadwin's wife actually wrote some comments about his day in its entirety over on the Scratch website, which we posted. I mean, obviously, probably something that he would like to have back. But, I mean, your emotions get the better of you sometimes. And, you know, that was the result for Adam Hadwin.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah,
I'd rather have that than him, particularly if you got kids watching, than somebody just screaming the F word or something like that. So that's fine. It happens. Everybody has outbursts. Like, disqualifying him is stupid. That's the dumbest thing I've ever read.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say disqualifying is definitely rough, but, you know, he shouldn't have done it either. You know, like, I mean, you know, there's definitely a line. Like, I understand, you know, when you're playing, you know, for your livelihood, there's definitely a lot of raw emotion involved. But at some point, you know, you have to be able to keep your cool. To some extent, you know, like Tiger was very famous for, you know, giving himself 10 seconds if he had a bad shot to be pissed about it and then just move on. Like, all right, we're going on to the next shot. You know, don't let it, you know, linger for the rest of the round. Don't let it derail the round.
Yeah, this is actually
his 10.
Yeah.
I also think, like, if we're going to, you know, post a video, not what Adam Hadwin broke a sprinkler in anger, maybe not on purpose, maybe on accident. He probably didn't try to destroy the sprinkler, but then we, you know, then you go see videos of guys slamming their putters into greens and going viral. And it's like, we're like, how many years in jail should they get? Like, and then, you know, it's like, then there's a debate with golf fans that are like, you know, that's terrible. That should never happen. And then, you know, these golfers do this stuff on the tour when they're on TV and on the camera, and people go, oh, well, that guy did it, man. I can do it too. Like, it's a trickle down effect. I agree with Mike. Like, there's a time and a place to be upset, but that's what you signed up for. You signed up to play golf on TV and to be watched 24/7. That's what you signed up to do. And for me personally, I'd rather not see that. That's just me.
But you got to have a brain, right? Like, I look at that and I'm like, okay, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done it. Nowhere in my head does it go, oh, I saw him do it. I'm just going to slam a sprinkler head next time I see it.
Yeah, but that's,
you know what I'm saying? Like, even when I'm mad, like, you just have a brain. I know the world is.
You're talking about the world versus you and a couple of us guys here that are still got our screws tight.
Just don't be dumb. Just don't act like an idiot.
Yeah.
Easier said than done.
Yeah.
It's funny though. This is actually not the first time that somebody's busted up a sprinkler head, eh? So in 1999 at Bay Hill, Davis Love III actually did pretty similar thing. And the next day in his locker, he got a bill from Arnold Palmer. It was $3.50 for parts and $175,000 for labor.
Yes.
Davis Love,
but it's crazy. It's crazy because like half the comments on our post were like DQ, 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 like over and over and over. Like that was the. I don't know if it's because of he's a Canadian and like people are taking it out on that or. But it's crazy.
People are just extremists now. They go for the extreme one way or the other. It's like. Yeah. You know, oh, everything should be a DQ or, I mean, I remember a long time ago, Craig Stadler put a towel down on the ground so he could kneel on it to hit a shot under a tree. They DQ'd him for that. I'm like, what are we doing?
Oh, the walrus.
Yep.
All right, guys, let's wrap it up here. We've got the Houston Open this week, Texas Children's Houston Open. We've got Rory in the field, Minwoo, Thigala, Scheffler's playing as well. Who's your guys' picks for this week's tournament?
I don't want Rory to win. because that's not good for the Masters. I'm going to go with Thigala.
Mike?
Is Jordan in the field? Spieth?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
JJ Spawn is.
JJ Spawn. Okay.
I've literally just looked at his name.
You know, it's kind of a basic pick, but, you know, I'm going to have to go with Scotty. You know, I feel like he's kind of due to just turn it on here. You know, he hasn't quite.
Sung Jae and Ricky are playing
last year. You know, I know it's a crazy pick, you know, going with Scotty, but, you know, I just feel like he's due to turn the corner here and really get his game where he wants it to be going in to defend his Augusta title.
Come on. Scotty.
Patton Kizzire. He's playing. That's going to be my pick. Yeah,
he'll probably win.
I'm looking at the entry list right now. He's playing.
Well, we can be rest assured that he probably won't be kicking his putter.
Yeah, no. Is Hadwin playing? Let's see. Oh, Hadwin's in too?
Oh, man.
Dude, I don't know. Since I'm taking lower tier players, let me have two. Let me have Hadwin.
Finau's playing.
Desire.
Finau.
See, I'm going really off the wall with this one.
I just think Ricky's going to put too much pressure on himself to win, to get into Augusta to play overly well. I mean, to win. Tough.
Does he need to win to get in?
Either that or finish top something, because it's got to be a high finish. It's got to be a high finish.
All right, before we wrap it up, the Masters is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, I mean, some people haven't been tuned into pro golf so far this year overall, just from the divide and everything that's going on. But the Masters brings everyone back together. You know, you got Rahm, you got Bryson, Neiman, like some of the top, you got even Phil playing the Masters. You guys have any early picks for Augusta at this stage?
I'm going to go with Koepka. I don't know. I feel like he's played that course pretty well. And, you know, he just has that major championship pedigree that a lot of guys don't have. Like, people forget he's got five majors now. And I just feel like he's due to have a big year this year. So he'll start that off with a win at the Masters.
I'm not going to give away my winner pick yet, but I'll predict Phil's going to have a high finish.
I can I'll go against find it that. There.
For sure.
He does find it there sometimes, but I'll go there. Against that.
And he's playing a little bit.
Thing, though. I like that. God, I just, depending on how this week goes, but I'm going to get tired of it, but every year, I guess I'll just say that it could be Rory's time. Every year that Tiger doesn't play, because when Tiger plays, I'm going to pick Tiger.
Right.
So let's go Rory, I guess, but we'll lock in the final picks next week.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go with a live pick.
Ooh,
just
it.
Like Mike, and I'm going with Neiman.
I think Neiman,
you know, he can hit his irons well. He can putt well. He can get hot with the putter. Those are two things that you need at Augusta National. And he has showed, like, great consistency, right, over these years. And I think he's super hungry to win a major. And he's been up there on the board before at the majors. And I wouldn't be surprised if Joaquin Neiman could get the win.
They slipped the jacket on a guy wearing a Liv Torque polo. It'd be great to see.
Oh, shoot.
Well, guys, it's been a great show again.
Yeah.
Pretty much wraps it up. And we'll see you guys next week. And this show going forward is going to be on all your favorite podcast platforms. You're going to be able to find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, just getting through some technical stuff there with that, and we're going to get it up. You're also going to find this live on X and on YouTube every Monday night. I know our show was at 8 p.m. tonight. We might move it to 8:30 going forward. I'm going to have some internal talk about that, see what's best. But the show is going to be live on X and YouTube, and then after it will be available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It's been a great one, fellas. Thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in. And we will see you on the next episode of the Nuclear Golf Podcast.